proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported JAZZ 90.1.
And good morning, Rochester. You are listening to JAZZ, member-supported JAZZ 90.1, and right. Soundbites. I'm here with Steve Ray, and unfortunately, Nick can't be here today, so...
No, so he called me in again.
So Dennis has graciously decided to come in here, and you know the format. We take your computer questions each week, and let's go around the table and just kind of introduce ourselves. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And like I said, you folks can pick up the phones and give us a call at 966-5299. 1-800 in the toll-free area, 790-0415. Or we do have another feature, which is called texting. And you can text us at 585-209-9010. And we make it that easy. And like I was telling you folks during the week, even Thursday night on my show, we've got one philosophy. The only dumb question is the one that you don't call in and ask. You can learn a lot. We have a lot of fun here. You've got some folks here between Dennis, yep. Nick, Steve, and myself. And I'm sure Nick is probably listening.
I'm sure he'll message us in just a moment.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to pop up, and sit there and say, yeah, this and this. He's, we
one,
all see.
Is it one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest?
Yeah. We have a great time with the show. So, again, we encourage you to pick up the phones and give us a call. That's 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Before we get into some of the news here, one other thing I want to prepare you folks for. Starting Monday, we are going to have our fall fund drive. And again, we're trying to raise $50,000. So we're going to be coming to you folks as you get your, questions answered and you listen each week and, you can go to our webpage. We've got links for a lot of the older stuff that, we've recommended and, our various tips and everything else. It's there. And we're going to be coming to you folks starting on Monday and till we get to 50,000 to help us keep us on the air. Because basically, what you folks got to realize, this is member-supported JAZZ 90.1. We don't get any of the public funding or anything else. So just be kind of ready and get that checkbook out. And matter of fact, beat the clock because you can go ahead and send your check in now. And then when we call and say, are you a member? He said, yep. And the other thing I want to point out is this coming Friday from 5 to 7 here at JAZZ 90.1, we're going to have an open house. And we're going to have refreshments. And a lot of the DJs and then are going to be here from 5 to 7. So if you get a chance, come on down. You can bring your check right then and there and just look around the studio, see where we actually do our show right here, and see our library and give you the whole 10-cent tour. So if you can, come on down. It's this coming Friday. At 11, I believe it's 11:39. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I'm trying to get the address here. I believe it's 11:39 Maiden Lane.
Does that sound right to you?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
As we all quickly go to the
11:39 Maiden Lane, yep. And what you're going to do is you come in, you're going to see off to the left this new addition that's kind of curvature.
Yeah.
And that's where the library is, and you're going to see, look for the flagpole. And you're going to come in door 24. Of course, we will have signs out, and hope to see you here. That's this coming Friday from 5 to 7. Steve, what do we got going there in the news? I heard about that.
Well, let's start with the poll of the week, which is, is up now.
He did do that before he left town?
Last week's news, a study from NPD showed that most consumers still don't buy electronics online. In a survey that they did, only 19% of people surveyed said they would be extremely or very likely to buy a television online, although 56% of them said that they do their research online. And it can depend on different products. A Blu-ray player, 21% bought it online. Camcorder, 21% bought online. But they're finding that most people aren't buying online. And as we mentioned last week, those of us that own local retail stores are very happy about that.
Breathing a sigh of relief.
Breathing a sigh of relief. Yeah, it's great to use the internet for research, but then when you go to a store, you want someone to talk to that that knows what they're talking about. So our poll of last week, didn't make it up in time, is now up. And the poll is, do you buy electronics online? And the choices are always, often, seldom, or never. And with 127 votes, often is leading the pack at 41%, seldom at 29%, always at 17%, and never at 13%. So those of you Luddites never buy anything online. Hopefully you support your jazz radio stations that that you're listening to this show on.
That's right.
Yeah, really.
Yep. But it's interesting that we talked a little bit about this last week, is you can get a lot of information online, you can get a lot of reviews online, but for most things, you actually want to see it and touch it and feel it before you buy it.
Right. Yeah. How does it feel in the hand? How big is it? Does it have the ports that you need? Are they lined up appropriately? What I've learned is, especially with laptops, a lot of those USB ports that they tend to cram onto the sides, they put two of them so close together that if you put a USB memory stick, you know, a thumb drive into one, then you can't get at the other one with either a second thumb drive or something else. They just are too close together.
Sometimes even a cable that has a thick connector on it.
Yeah.
They block the port that's next to it. And it's great to have, you know, six USB ports, but they're all on top of each other and you can only use two at a time.
Right. Yeah, so being able to see them in person is good. Yep. And, of course, that's assuming that the display model that they have is actually something that isn't, you know, gutted out with no battery in it, and you can't tell how heavy it is, and it's strapped to the shelf at the store. But, you know, your better stores, they're going to have that and want to hand it to you and have you investigate it and make sure it's what you need.
And then shipping charges on big items like televisions.
Oh,
you
sure.
You're going to pay a fortune in shipping to get it to you.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we talked about is the immediate gratification. You know, if I buy something online, I'm going to have to pay for shipping, and then it's going to take 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, yeah. You get to get the tracking number and look up and see where it is today, and tick-tock.
Follow the truck around until until he passes your house, then you go back and yell at. But then you run to the store, you can buy it right now. So it's that immediate gratification.
Right. Unlike when you run to the store for something else, and you get back and you see the little ticket on your front door that says, hey, we stopped by, tried to deliver it, and you just... You know.
In that 30 seconds, you went to pee because you've been standing in front of the door for 5 hours.
You missed it.
That was an XKCD comic a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you know, the one that got me is...
Ninja Delivery Guys.
I used to have it on file with them to go ahead and leave it without my signature.
Yep.
And they'd still leave the darn Post-it notes on the door.
Some of the stuff, when I tried to get my iPad delivered months and months ago now, Apple requires them to get a signature for that.
Well, yeah, that probably cuts down a lot of the fraud later on. I never got it. Well, here's your signature.
Right.
I've heard some horror stories about people who work in office complexes, because a lot of people will have it shipped to their office because no one's home during the day, and it gets delivered to the wrong suite or gets left in front of the building instead of into the building.
Oh, right.
Or you live in an apartment building and you know, the downstairs neighbor signs for it,
or
you never see it again.
Or the security guy signs for it, yeah.
Yeah. So by getting the actual signature, they can be sure you did get it.
Cool.
We've run into that at our store, selling stuff and getting signatures at the other end, and people still say they never got the product, and PayPal gives them their money back, so we're out the product and we're out the money.
That's a pretty rough situation.
Yep. And the tracking notice says it was delivered, and the signature is a scrawl you can't read anyway.
So then you've got to spend your time doing that instead of...
And you have to file suit in their jurisdiction.
What a mess.
To claim that they frauded you, so it's horrible. We've pretty much given up shipping out of the city almost, but definitely out of the state.
Come and get it.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a caller, and it's Bo Dan.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hello, Bo Dan.
Oh, he's really off. He's calling the gentleman already at this hour of the afternoon.
Anyway, I've got a question in regards to one of the programs of the Security Tango, the super anti-spyware. Last year, I did spend the money, and I upgraded the free edition to the professional edition, which gave me real-time protection and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I ran it periodically, and the only thing that I would ever get was tracking cookies, which I would delete. But you know, some people say tracking cookies aren't even that big of a deal. Well, my subscription has ended, and when I manually try to do an update now, it won't even allow me to do an update. It just basically says my update subscription has expired, and it wants me to renew. So the question that I have is, and I also, my version is a version 4.56.1. Now, apparently, to the website, they have a new version 5. My question is, should I, using a program like Revo Uninstaller, should I uninstall the current super anti-spyware program I have on in my computer and then download the new, free version from
that's probably the best thing.
But you don't have to use Revo to do that. If you go to the Super Anti-Spyware website and go to their support section.
Yeah, they have an uninstaller.
They have an uninstaller,
The top customer issues and help, the first link there is how do I uninstall Super Anti-Spyware?
Yes, I see that,
And you can download an uninstaller right from their website.
Uh-huh.
So that might be less work than the Revo product.
Click to download the proper version of your which running Windows XP Service Pack 3, which that'd be probably is what, 32?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to make sure you got to pick the right operating system for yourself.
Right.
How do I verify that?
If you go into the control panel under System.
Hang on a second. Control panel.
Or right-click on My Computer and choose Properties.
If you go to Start, My Computer, right-click on it, choose Properties. It'll tell you.
All right, my control panel, My Computer. Boom, 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 boom.
Right. And then the very first, when you go to the Properties, the very first page will tell you how much memory it is, what version of Windows you're running.
Yep. How fast your processor is.
I'll tell you right now. And on the general page, Service Pack 3, boom, 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 boom.
If it doesn't say 64-bit, then it is 32.
Yeah, I'd say up to the top.
It doesn't say anything, so it doesn't say 64 nor 32.
Well, normally it'll just say Windows XP Service Pack 3.
Right.
Yeah.
If it says Service Pack 3 64-bit, then it is. Right. If it doesn't, then it's 32.
I learned this week that there is no Service Pack 3 for the 64-bit version of XP.
There you go.
So it's a 32-bit I need to get.
You got it.
That's the one.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Boy, he's really... We got him really buffaloed.
He's...
Calling us gentlemen twice. Of course, he's met us, too.
Yeah.
And he still does.
You sound like he's in a really good mood. That's cool.
No, Bodan is a great guy. You know, I run into him. Matter of fact, I saw him just this past weekend at the German Fest. I was there because I belong to the Kiwanis and listening to that chicken dance. Shoot the chicken! But no, we were there doing the pull tabs and having a lot of fun.
Speaking of chicken, did you see the picture in the New York Times on the sexy chicken?
Pardon me.
Do we really want to know?
Does this match our format?
Yeah, really.
Well, here's this from the Washington Post. Also,
my hand is on the dump button.
Well, apparently, women's rights groups are up in arms about this picture of a chicken.
Oh, I see.
Okay. It's a chicken you're supposed to cook, peeled and plucked and
like Frank Perdue style chicken.
Yeah, ready to be cooked. Okay. But it's in a sexy pose. And Pete is all mad about it and so sexy chicken ruffles feathers is the meme that's bouncing around.
And we can agree that this picture is probably safe for work. This is something your kids could see and would not be a problem.
It's not a foul deal.
But I'm bummed.
You knew that was coming from me.
And it was in a story in the New York Times about the growing obsession among chefs for crispy chicken skin. And, we've been told for years, when I was a kid, it was always the fight over who gets the chicken skin.
That's where the flavor is.
For the flavor is, yeah. But then everyone told us that's bad and it's where all the fat is. So for years, we haven't been able to eat chicken skin.
Right, because that's the fat is where the flavor is.
So it's apparently coming back. And
unless it's super crispy.
Yeah.
If it's super crunchy, crispy, then I'll eat it. But if it was rubbery and fatty, nah.
So we've gone from chicken dance to rubbery and fatty.
Yeah.
So New York Times editor says it's just art. But
yeah, I tend to think it's more art. Here, check this out, Dave. See what you think.
It's a chicken roaster. It's getting ready
It's cute.
Now, if they'd have put it in a pan, ready to go into the oven, would that have been okay?
With a thermometer in it?
Yeah, with a thermometer. Yeah, it doesn't have a head. So, yeah, could have had a thermometer for a head.
All right.
So it's interesting what memes bounce around the internet.
No doubt about that.
What's that website? KnowYourMeme.com?
Know Your Meme. Yeah, if you're not up to speed on what the people who literally live on the internet are talking about, then KnowYourMeme.com is a great place to go. They literally define the indefinable. and they'll break it down for you in a very matter-of-fact Wikipedia-style answer. Yeah, have you seen this one with Chuck Testa?
Chuck Testa. There's a lot of
it's a running gag
regional
right
commercials
now.
From other cities. It used to be the mattress guy, crazy electronics guy.
We've had those here in Rochester, too, with J&E Grocery, way back when, Record Archive, all those
House
local
of Guitars.
Places.
I haven't seen a House of Guitars commercial in ages.
They seem to run the those claymation ones at Christmas time.
Yeah, they'll go through the holidays.
Bruce and Armand.
They're still there,
yeah, still
there going
forever.
Like crazy.
Got kicked out the other day for straighten up the aisles.
My wife,
but it's always amazing. You ask for a record, they know exactly where it is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. They have a pile cabinet, I like to call it.
Pile cabinet. Can I use that?
Of course.
That's no lie. I mean,
my wife likes things really organized, and we went in there when we were first dating and when we were in college. And she went in there and she said, oh, my goodness, this place drives me crazy. I can't be in here. Just because it's literally a mountain.
It's organized mess.
Six feet tall of T-shirts. Yeah. Well, when we were there, you know, years ago. But it's kind of a unique local piece of history that's always had sort of interesting local commercial.
Yep.
Definitely different. All right, tell you what, folks. That kind of tells me that we got to stop here for a couple minutes. And give you some great words of wisdom out there. And if you would, while we're out there and you're listening to this, you can also pick up the phone and give us a call at 966-5299. That's 1-800-790-0415 in the toll-free area. And we will be right back in just a moment. Welcome back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester. Still.
Get a little complacent there.
Well, I'm waiting for, I come after Nick, so I was waiting for Nick.
Well, that's what I say, you know, doing this so many years, we just get so complacent and like, you know, like we tell folks don't do.
Right.
You know, as far as click, 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 because they're just so used to click, click, clicking.
Well, we're creatures of habit.
Yeah, no lie on that one. What else we got going in the news?
Oh, it's all sorts of stuff. Do you want to talk a little bit about the iPhone announcement coming up this week?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, might as well.
Big deal.
Let me get to
that.
There's
a lot of rumors. Now, Apple themselves generally are very secretive. They don't let things slide. So everything that we hear before an actual launch from Apple themselves tends to be stuff that's sort of leaked out from Asia, from the manufacturing plants, or people who are, you know, friends of friends of friends. But in general, Apple is a very secretive company. So there's a lot of things that we're not quite sure about. So we'll have to take all this with a grain of salt, of course. But we think there's some new features that we've been hearing about that sound pretty interesting.
What's interesting is how much people have dug into the press announcement. That's not the link I wanted. Apple released a
An invitation
to a press announcement on Tuesday the 4th at 10 a.m. Pacific. And in the announcement, and I'm trying to find a picture of it. I can never find a picture when
it's
looking for it.
It's the icons, right?
Yeah, it's got icons of a phone, icons from the iPhone, and the image caption is, "Let's talk iPhone." And so everyone is basically expecting it's going to be iPhone 5. And probably iOS 5. There is the one I'm looking for. It's got a calendar showing a 5 on it, and a clock showing 10 a.m. on it, and then their mapping program with Cupertino, and their infinite loop on their map program, and then a telephone icon with a 1 on it. And
typically, what would that mean?
Right. And so the bloggers are all wondering, what is this? You know, somebody had a numerologist look at it, and you know, it says one missed phone message.
Right. Yeah,
and so it would make sense that that in addition to an iPhone 5, they would come out with the new iOS 5, Apple has announced a lot of what iOS 5 is going to do, especially back at their developer conference in June, and there's expectations that what are they going to update? So it'll probably get more memory, it'll probably have a higher megapixel camera. It's probably going to have the new A6 processor that they're working on.
Going back to the camera for a second, is that going to have front and back?
Yeah, it has front and back now, but it's only a 5-megapixel front camera.
All right, so they're upping the pixels.
Yeah.
Okay. So we think it's going to be an A6 and not the dual-core A5 that's in the iPad?
Well, Yeah, that's the choice. Right now they've got the A4, and the iPad has had the A5 for quite a while. So will they put the A5 in the iPhone, or is the A6 ready, or is that going to be next year's processor? It'll probably have a dual cellular chipset, so a single phone will work on GSM or CDMA. The big question is whether it's going to get 4G, if it's going to add LTE or not, because that's not that big of a penetration in most markets. It's big in advertising. You know, we got to have 4Gs. In fact, I like the Ozzy Osbourne Super Bowl commercial. Right. How many Gs does it have now?
All of them.
All of them, yeah. But whether Apple adds 4G or not is going to be interesting, because it's not that big a penetration in the market, so there's going to be features people don't have. In fact, I read a survey a few months ago that most iPhone 4 owners thought they already had 4G because it had a 4 in the product name.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. So Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific is when we're going to find out exactly what's going to be announced and what it's going to have. And what's really interesting is in the smartphone market, the iPhone 4 is over 18 months old, and it's still the single best-selling smartphone.
Right. Not that there's the most sold. It's continuously, week after week, month after month, the one that people come into the store and ask to get.
Right. Android, in general, has a bigger market share than iOS because there's so many more Android phones. But that's sort of the problem with the Android phones, too, is that every couple of weeks, there's a new phone. So at least with the iPhone, you're guaranteed a year before there's a new model.
Right. Well, yeah. And so many times when you get an Android phone, at least, again, this is what I'm hearing, if a new version of the Android OS comes out, there's no guarantee that you are going to be able to grab that new OS and run it on your phone that exists.
Well, carrier is going to block a lot of that stuff, yeah, and they have to vet it themselves first.
Right. One difference, though, the Android phones and that versus the iPhone is... Well, you've got a lot more manufacturers out there doing right. Android phones, and that's why they're always trying to play leapfrog to get yep. ahead of their competitors.
True.
So that's why you're always seeing the changes there, whereas the iPhone folks, you know, they control it,
yep.
and you get one a year.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Again, they are kind of throttling you in that aspect.
True.
That they're only doing one. And you got to wait a whole year before getting the next feature, because they don't want to pork off all the other folks that just got the current phone and, leak out another one.
Right.
Whereas the other,
Android world, it's a new announcement every 3 weeks.
Yeah. Sort of like the Mac folks used to be with their computers.
Mm.
It seemed like Steve was, when we first started this show back in the day, I can remember for the number of years. Every week we say, all right, what new Mac they bringing out this week? Or what rumor?
Yep.
And Steve would just have a host of all the different Macs that they were bringing out.
Yeah. No, they're usually...
You don't hear that anymore.
They simplified that product line, 10 years ago or so.
Yeah, they sold five or six different models in department stores and five or six different models in computer stores.
Sure, and education and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't like, I'm not popular for saying this, but Apple reduced their product line down to what they call their four quadrants. They did their portables and their home machines.
It's almost like they're getting out of computers.
A pro desktop and a pro laptop, a consumer desktop and a consumer laptop.
And
four quadrants.
And now, that four quadrant thing seems quaint. I mean, they've got, different flavors of laptop. They've got different flavors of desktop. They've got iPods, iPhones, yep. iPads in all sorts of flavors and all sorts of capacities and colors. And it's just, it's amazing how much their product line has grown. Now, they've also had tremendous success in the past 10 years, but it's not quite the same as it used to be in terms of knowing precisely what sizes and prices there were out there. It's a lot to know now.
Yep. It's all even worse in the Windows world.
Tell you what, why don't we go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go to the phones. We've got Jim from Churchville. What can we do for you, Jim?
Hi, I got a question about Microsoft's updates. I get the automatic updates. I don't load
we
them.
We question it every day.
Before I download, I don't trust everything they immediately update. But I keep getting updates for Microsoft Office 2010. I don't have it, but I do have 2003. And I don't know whether what they're correcting is vulnerable also to any of the other Office years, if you will, or if I should ignore the 2010 update because I don't have 2010.
You must have a piece of 2010 or it wouldn't be offering you that update.
I wonder if you might have a trial installed that might come with
your
the computer.
Your computer may have come with a trial of 2010 that's still in there.
Okay. Okay, I didn't.
Like a 60 or a 90. Yeah, 60 or a 90 day.
Yeah, if you're not using that, you might just
uninstall
that.
Okay.
Yeah, under the programs and features, if you're running Vista or Windows 7, under Windows XP, it'd be add remove programs and look to see if there is a Windows 2010 90-day or 60-day trial or whatever they call it.
Oh, okay.
And I'm looking for the cutoff date, but I would be surprised if Microsoft is still offering updates to 2003.
Yeah.
I'm still getting them.
Okay. Because I know they cut off old versions quite frequently.
Get them for both 3 and 2010.
Yeah. So your computer probably had a demo or trial copy of 2010, and so that's why they're offering those.
Okay.
Generally, their bug fixes and security patches. There have been a lot of problems with Microsoft Word and Excel scripting, where people can give you a malicious Excel file, and it has code in it that does nasty things to your computer.
Okay.
So in general, it's a good idea to install those updates. But if you're not using that program, go ahead and uninstall it.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
No problem, Jim.
Bye.
So that's common, especially in the Windows world, where software comes bundled on your computer. You may not know it's there, may not realize it's there, but you start getting still get updates for it. And especially the trials that expire are really annoying because they want you hooked on the product, and then when the trial expires, it's your fault. You got to go buy the new version.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we talk about OpenOffice, which is a free Office suite you can download, and it reads and writes all the Microsoft Office documents. So
it does a really good job.
Yeah. A lot easier and a lot cheaper than buying the Office suite. So
yeah.
that's a good deal.
All right, we have another call.
Big Bill from Webster. How you doing, Bill?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. How are you guys today?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, my least favorite Windows update subject, Net Framework updates. I've got a computer. I don't know why it is, but about 50% of the time, Net Framework updates don't work. I've got one computer that had Net Framework 1.1 Service Pack 1 update, and it downloads and it says it installs, but then it doesn't install. So I was looking into this, and one of the suggestions was to take Net Framework 1.1 out and start over. And when I go to add remove programs, this is a Windows XP machine, I go to add remove programs, I see Net Framework 1.1 in there. But over on the right-hand side, it doesn't have any size of the program or anything and won't uninstall. When you click on uninstall, it says something to the effect of the program's not really there. So then I get looking at what I have to do, and I went up on Microsoft, and they're suggesting that you install, that you take out all the Net Framework versions,
yeah,
which is hours of reinstallation. I just wonder if you guys have any other suggestions.
There's also the .NET Framework Automatic Cleanup tool that you can get from Microsoft.
Okay.
It's not considered a substitute for that standard uninstall procedure, and you should ideally try to do that long procedure you were talking about before you try this. But it removes the .NET Framework for you. There is a link that we can put in our show notes here. That you can download and learn more about it. But that's an alternate method that may save you some time.
But that's just going to uninstall the programs?
That's going to uninstall the .NET frameworks, and then you can choose to reinstall those if you want and see if the updates will work once you've reinstalled it.
Yeah, but installing the .NET frameworks tends to be a very long process, especially some versions.
Yeah. One of the things you can do is not reinstall it until the program says it needs it. The .NET framework is a programming architecture from Microsoft that a lot of programs use in order to run properly. But if you're not running any of those programs, you may be able to get away with not installing the .NET framework.
Well, if you've got, you know, there's like 4 versions of .NET framework in there, and we're talking about 1.1, which is the oldest version on the computer. If it's got all these other updates in it, do I really need to care about Framework 1.1 Service Pack 1.
I don't even know of that many programs. I mean, I don't even have it installed on my machine. And it hasn't caused any issues. And I run a wide variety of programs.
Right.
I basically hit it on this machine. And
try uninstalling it and just see if you can run without it for a while.
Well, the problem is I can't uninstall it.
The uninstall is dimmed and won't let him uninstall.
Right.
Maybe there's an...
So my
on the Microsoft website?
Yeah, there's a yep. the .NET Framework cleanup tool will try to clean up the .NET Framework products all the way up from version 1 to version 4.
Okay.
And then wait until the program asks for it before reinstalling it again.
Okay. Well, I guess one of my questions is, if you've got like .NET Framework 4 in there, doesn't that replace all the older versions? And do you really need the old version?
No,
some
programs still may be written for an old version.
Right.
Okay. So if we haven't had any trouble running any program, I'll just hide it and let it bitch at me every time I do automatic updates.
There you go.
Yep.
That sound reasonable?
That works.
That's one way to do it, yeah. Or you can try running this cleanup tool and getting it cleaned up and removed from your system so it doesn't nag you for updates that you don't want to install.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
It's...
Yeah, those libraries... .NET is a programming set of libraries that Microsoft provides to their developers. And developers' goals are to write as little code as possible. And Microsoft writes a bunch of things for you, if you're a developer, that you can take advantage of. And from time to time, they release newer versions of those frameworks, those pre-written pieces that developers can use. And the different versions, it may be discovered that some of them have problems or security problems or something else that needs to be fixed. So they'll release newer and newer versions of that and make them available. And keeping those up to date is a great idea, if you can.
Okay, you want to learn more? Tell you what, stay tuned, because as soon as we get back from these great messages, we're going to have more of Soundbites here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you underwrite the programming of Jazz 90.1, you make your business known to people who enjoy jazz as much as you do. Your on-air message is short and tasteful, making it easy to remember, with basic information about your business, including how to reach you. Underwriting is economical, too. To find out more about underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Hello, I'm Greg Lefebvre. I'd like to invite you to Get the Blues. 4 hours of blues music every Sunday night. It all starts with Jeff Harris and Big Road Blues from 5 until 7. Jeff will bring you the history of the blues. Then from 7 to 9, it's Doc's Juke Joint. That's where you'll hear current blues, our Juke Joint music calendar, and a few blues classics. So get the blues in a good way each and every Sunday night right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'll play the blues for you.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do New York a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's Wireless Companies, and the National Safety Council.
If you own or run a business, consider promoting your business on Jazz 90.1 through underwriting.
Welcome back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we got it right that time.
That's right.
Woo!
Much better.
Practice.
Yes.
Yeah, after 22 years now, right?
Something
now
like
what?
That.
What we've completed 22, or we're starting 23?
I don't know, man.
Let's look at our homepage. We've been on the air for 22 years, 0 months, and 28 days.
So we're in
our 23rd year.
Yeah, we're heading to 23 years.
Cool. We have another caller.
Yes, we do. Virginia from Pittsburgh. Go ahead, Virginia.
I think it's a virus, and it's called Open Cloud Security.
We're in our 23rd year. Yeah.
Oh, now I can hear you on my computer.
Cool. All right, mute that so we don't get the feedback, if you would, please.
Oh, turn it off? Okay.
Ahead, yeah.
I think it's a virus, and it's called...
Yeah, it looks like Open Cloud Security is.
And I can't get it off the bottom.
Yeah, it's a fake antivirus program.
Close that program. Yeah.
Let me get this off. Okay.
Thank you.
How's that?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have you danced the tango?
I'm trying to do that, but I can't follow that. I don't know how to turn off system restore. I got directions on how to put it back on, but I don't know how to turn it off.
Just the opposite. When you go to turn it off, you go into that same screen, and to turn it back on, you uncheck it. So to turn it off, you would check it, which says turn off.
I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a little checkbox over in the midway left-hand corner or left side. There's a little checkbox that you can say, and it'll say turn off.
Okay.
So you would turn it off, and then that way it'll delete all the restore programs, because a lot of stuff likes to hide in there.
Okay.
So you go ahead and turn that all off so that it gets rid of all those programs, and then you can run the other stuff in safe mode to, slowly...
That puts me into safe mode, then?
No, you can go into safe mode. By rebooting the machine. What version of Windows do you have?
XP.
All right. As you're booting up, rebooting the machine, keep hitting F8. What's going to happen is you're going to get a screen that you're going to have different options. And one of the options is, number one, go into safe mode. And you want number two, actually, safe mode with networking. So that way you can run, say, Super Anti-Spyware and get the updates and do a scan there. And the same with Malwarebytes.
Yeah, this one needs Malwarebytes first.
That disarmed my Malwarebytes.
So
I can't
get
that.
It may stop you from updating it. So you may need to use another computer to clean this computer off.
In other words, that hard drive has to come out of the machine.
Might need to take it to your local shop.
How much of a charge do you know what that would be to fix that?
You would have to call, check out our webpage. Soundbites.
It's not Microsoft supported anymore.
Right. Go to our webpage, soundbites.org, and we've got different leads there that you can check out.
And the prices tend to vary just a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye now.
This is a new strain of the fake antivirus programs, picking up buzzwords, Open Cloud Security. There's also a new fake one called Wolfram Antivirus.
Another one I had was called...
That's new to me.
Setup 1911.
Okay.
.fon. And I had to go do. It's a relatively new one, and it gets in there. It likes to travel on other storage devices.
Okay.
And hide itself.
So it will go through flash drives.
Yes.
Sure.
And again, this is where I can't say it enough. Folks get so complacent. And using, the flash drives and that, and they just take them and hand them, or they'll grab somebody else's flash drive. Oh, okay, here, let me check that out. And they put it into the machine without scanning it. And that's dangerous. Because unlike the old floppy days, when, you had a floppy drive and you could lock it, so things wouldn't get on it.
Right.
Flash drives don't have it like that anymore.
There are very few companies still making flash drives you can lock.
Yeah, they usually used to have a little switch on them.
Yeah.
I remember that. But... Boy, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. Is it SanDisk that used to make those?
Almost everyone used to make it, but it probably adds a buck to the manufacturing cost.
Oh, sure.
Which jumps down on the end. But you still can find it. They're hard to find. I'm trying to find a look. Here's one from TechCrunch Gear that might have it. I found a list a while ago of companies still making flash drives that have a lock on them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, like I say, what I found is
Security Now had an interesting idea, especially for us service guys, to make your CD image and then burn that ISO of the CDFS to a flash drive. And then Windows will not write to it because it knows it cannot write to a CDFS volume.
Well, what I've done is I found these little flash drives that you can put smart cards in.
Okay.
And the smart cards have locks on them.
Ah,
so you can
clever.
Put when the SIM card's in there, and you can get them all different sizes,
sure,
you can lock it. So this is the only thing we use in our shop.
Right.
So, because I don't want to be accused of, you know, well, maybe you brought it in. No, totally impossible. My devices are totally lockable, and you can't do anything with that.
The other thing that does is it separates the data storage from the controller that's used to talk to the memory, so that if the controller happens to go bad, you can still pull that memory card out of the adapter you've got there and put it into a different one.
Yep.
And it's still accessible.
Tell you what, we got another caller. Let's
Lots
go
of
to
this is great.
Joe in Cheektowaga. Go ahead, Joe. What
Hi,
do you know?
Guys. I just wanted to say years ago when I was working with XP at my place of employment, we had Outlook, and I had explicitly uninstalled Outlook Express because, you know, what am I going to need that for? But come update day, I would occasionally get updates for Outlook Express. Well, they just labeled it that. Really, it's, you know, Mappy updates, you know, Mail API.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking is maybe your previous caller might have some version of Office, not necessarily 2010, but may have installed the 2010 import-export filters,
yep,
and maybe he's getting updates for that.
Very well. Very good point.
That's good actually
point.
That's a good idea.
See,
yeah,
that's
some,
what we love about the show and our listeners.
Some piece of the Office 2010 product is in there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the, what is it, the OpenXML filter.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
The older versions of Office cannot read documents from the new version
Very
of Office.
Those DocX and XLSX
files. So you can install the OpenXML filter from Microsoft to let your older program read the newer files. And so now that is probably called part of Office 2010 or 2011 on Mac now to need an update for that as well. So that's also a good point. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, open statement instead of letter to Microsoft. You mind getting a little more descriptive with your updates? Like updates that are all security update for XP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please tell me what's wrong so I can decide, hey, do I need to look whether I need to apply this or not? I mean, come on.
They don't want you turning down any of their great stuff.
Right.
So what if it'll mess up your machine? They don't care.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know, I'm kind of wondering for your other caller, too, that had the .NET problems. I don't know. Maybe his needs for what he needs to do with his computer, maybe he can get by with some Linux distribution such as Ubuntu. Or if he really needs something with .NET, maybe Linux plus Wine plus Mono.
Yeah, that's a possibility. You know, I was thinking about that very thing as I was heading out the door this morning. I've got a machine from my mother-in-law. Hi, Pat, if you're listening. that might need to not be an XP machine anymore. Perhaps it could be an Ubuntu machine.
It so, yeah. Less headaches for you.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so much easier to remote support a Linux machine, in my opinion.
Right. Yep. And that's the other thing that we're going to talk about. So that's a definite possibility.
Oh, well, thank you very much for your time, guys.
Well, thank you.
I just heard a story on podcast on my way in where
The other caller that called in.
Yeah.
I don't know where you went, but call back, please. If I inadvertently hung up, I hope I didn't. But you know, please call back.
So, a guy was saying that he's his parents' tech support, and he usually uses VNC to remote into their computer to fix their problems. Well, he joined the Air Force, and he's now stationed in Afghanistan.
Oh,
and his mom called him and said they're having computer problems. they're getting hard drive errors. So he said it's a little tricky using VNC from Afghanistan, but
right.
But he was able
through some kind of satellite connection.
Yeah, he was able to VNC into his parents' computer. Download a copy of SpinRite, burn an ISO, had them put a blank disk in the drive, yeah. burn the ISO, and tell it to reboot and run. And mom called them back 2 days later and said it ran, and now the computer's working just fine.
Wow. Impressive.
That's one thing, you know, thank God, for like Skype and that type of stuff,
yep.
remoting in, especially Skype, and for our military. That has been a godsend for them. And what I mean in that is, and I can talk from experience, my own nephew, who was stationed over in Afghanistan, you know, he came home last Christmas just to see his daughter be born, just in time, then turned around and had to leave. But due to Skype and video conferencing, he was able to see his daughter just about every day and, you know, talk to his wife. And I think that relieves a lot of stress and
sure.
tension on all of our military to just, you know, like back in my day, just
yeah,
walk off.
Mail call,
know,
right?
Yeah, and you'd get mail and, you know, depending on how long it took to catch up with you, you know, that could be weeks.
Sure.
And that gets pretty darn depressing and lonely. Whereas, you know, here they got a laptop, you know, with them nowadays, and they can just pull up Skype, talk to them, see them, and, you know, granted you can't, you know, touch them, but it's the next best thing to be there. And I think it just, you know, helps our military so much more that they can still have the close ties to home. You know, because they know they're missing them, but it just maybe makes it a little less.
Of course.
So, you know, again, thanks to the military and keeping that those doors and that open so that they can.
Yeah.
And making it wider, you know, offering an open Wi-Fi network, usually wherever they are, and having it there for them.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We're not members of the military ourselves at my house, but we do the same thing. With the little kids that live at my house, talking to Grandma and Grandpa, they will take the iPad and go sit on the sofa, and I've told them how to start up Skype, or yeah. or I help them,
yeah.
and they literally do a video chat with their grandparents that are hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's fantastic. They love it, and they will literally walk around the house and point to their favorite toys and point the camera at it and say, and this is my new stuffed animal, and you know, and this is mm-hmm. where I have my bet. And, of course, the parents already know
it
this stuff.
It just bridges such a big gap. You know, and I've got a number of friends, you know, Scott and Jim down in South Carolina, Karen and Ruth and that out in Omaha, Nebraska, and Carol out in Portland, Oregon, you know, and my cousins down in Los Angeles. You know, just being able to Skype with them and talk with them. It's so cool, you know, being able to do it real time. And
sure.
I got another friend over in Sweden, and I talk to her from time to time. And, you know, it's just unbelievable, you know, because you're doing it real time. You know, not this delay and all this other stuff. It's there, and it's wild. And it's free!
That's right.
It's free.
Yep. If you've got the hardware and the bandwidth, then
that's
you don't
need
to pay anything.
You know,
extra.
That's the other thing, though. I'm surprised hasn't been taken over yet.
What's
and
that?
Setting a monthly charge is Skype. Granted, they There's got still, other features and all that other stuff,
yeah.
but you can still get the basics.
Right.
And it's still it's free for computer to computer.
Right.
But if you want to call a telephone or have a telephone call your computer, you pay a little bit for that.
Yeah.
And they're basically long distance rates are pretty low compared to the traditional telephone.
Yeah.
And that's where they're making enough money to leave the computer to computer part
it's
free.
It's the international rates that are, again, so low, but subsidizing everything else for the rest of us.
And that's where I say Skype should be given a great pat on the back, again, for keeping that open. And like I say, back to our military and keeping that door open for them. That is just fantastic. Unlike most companies that would just jump on it. Well, hey, even if we just charge $10 a month.
Sure.
You know?
Great. Right.
Some folks might be able to say it. Some might not. You know,
right.
Especially the military. Times are tough in that there. That they're leaving that alone.
Or split
My
it
hats
into two.
Go off to you at Skype.
Now, the danger is, since Microsoft bought Skype, are they going to ruin it? Like it's typical with Microsoft.
Oh, they'd mess up a free
Yeah, they'll make it Windows Server only, so you have to have a Windows Server to run Skype or some other stupid thing like that.
We've got a news story about, speaking of things that are open, net neutrality. Did you want to...
Well, we don't want to go into that. We've got
close.
About maybe another 30 seconds or so, and we're going to have to... take a short break. But we can kind of allude to what...
Yeah, so the
tease it.
Yes, we'll tease it. After the break, come back and listen for the story we're going to read about Verizon, that they're suing to block the net neutrality rules that are coming up soon. They're going to...
Sorry.
Wrong button.
Take a stab at overturning the FCC's net neutrality rules, and we'll hear more about that pretty soon.
All right. Tell you what. Yes, as Nick would say, you have wasted a whole hour. But you know what? The weather isn't that great anyways. You know, and it's rainy, cloudy, nasty. So why not, you know, just kick back, maybe go grab another cup of coffee or whatever you're drinking. And, listen to the next hour of Soundbites. And again, if you have any questions, please pick up the phone, give us a call, and those numbers are 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Or you can text us if you are out in this weather and listen to us on the radio and you got a question, please. You know, you can text us at 585-209-9010. We give you many ways to stay in touch with the longest-running computer show here in the U.S. and anywhere. I'm member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back. You are listening to Soundbites on October the 1st. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we've got Julie from Rochester on the line. What can we do for you, Julie?
Yes, I have a very simple question for you people, but not so simple for me. I cannot open PDF files, only JPEG. Is there some way I can convert these so I can open them?
You need to install a PDF reader.
Foxit.
Right. Foxit is the common reader. The Adobe reader is the manufacturer of PDF, the Adobe company. But they have a lot of problems and security holes in their reader. So most people use the Foxit reader instead of that.
And you can get that from foxitsoftware.com.
Is it free?
Yes, yep. It is.
Ah, Foxit, F-O-X-I-T?
That's right.
Foxit.com.
Yep. PDF
right.
is sort of
Thank
a...
Thank you very much, and I enjoy your show.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
PDF is kind of a generic document format so that if someone sends you a Word file, you almost have to have purchased Microsoft Word in order to view it. There's workarounds for that, but... generally speaking, when you send a document to someone, you should be nice and not make them buy software. We're seeing PDFs to be more and more common on the internet as a way to transmit documents, especially formatted documents with columns and pictures and heavy formatting, to retain that formatting when you're sending it to someone who may not have the program you created it with.
Right, or even just fonts that they might use in their design that you may not have.
Yeah. No, I found Foxit just... so much better.
Okay.
But, oh, I had another client that was having issues, trying to save things into PDF format. You know, he says, well, I can't see how to do it in Word. And I said, go to OpenOffice.
Generally, to make a PDF, you need to buy the Adobe Acrobat program, which can be pretty expensive.
And
Mac.
Right. Macs make PDFs built into the OS.
Well, OpenOffice does it, too. Right, and they've done it for years. I mean, within their Word program, that's always been something in OpenOffice. And, oh, it's free. And it can read any of the versions of Word, Excel, Access, PowerPoint. It can read those in. But like I said, the feature I love in OpenOffice, the Word program of it, is you can save it as a PDF. They just click on and say PDF. Okay, done.
And the other nice thing about PDFs is you can't change the contents of a PDF,
yes,
again, without purchasing additional software. So if you send a document to someone, you know it hasn't been changed along the way.
Yeah, pretty unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Victor from Irondequoit on the line. What can we do for you, Victor?
Well, ever since Firefox went on their speed upgrade, about half my add-ons don't work. Even the add-on that says Firefox to let you know when it's working, nothing works.
Yeah. Firefox 7 came out this week.
What?
Right.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Wasn't 6 out just like 6 weeks ago?
And it had its issues.
The Mozilla people who make Firefox have said they're going to release major versions about every 6 weeks or so. And rushing versions to market seems to be a bad thing. What they're saying is they don't want to wait for new features to come out. You know, once a year they release a huge version that has all these new features in it. They want to add new features all the time and just push out all these bigger versions. But it's not going over well, and people are backlashing.
Well, what we always say, you can always tell the pioneers. They're the ones with the arrows in their back. And that's where I'll usually I've got one test machine in the shop where if some software package blows it up, I don't care. Because I've got a ghost image of the original out there on my network that if it gets messed up, okay, no problem. I format it, and I pull that ghost image back in, and I'm good to go. And these programs can do that.
And what's happening is because Firefox is updating itself so fast, the third-party plugin people can't keep up.
Not even close.
You know, as Dennis said, version 6 just came out a couple of weeks ago, and version 5 a couple of weeks before that. So people are writing their software for version 6, and suddenly version 7's out, and things have changed again.
And that's a problem for people that are using Google Apps, because Google specified earlier this year that they're going to support the current version and the previous version, but they're not necessarily going to work to fix bugs with their services for any versions older than that.
Google,
so now you've got a window of 2 months of supported browsers, and anything before that just
they
isn't covered.
They may have to change that policy since
browsers
are updating so fast. Yeah. And part of that is with Google Chrome, it gets updated in the background and doesn't tell you, which I almost wish Firefox would do. So there's that catch-22. I want to know what's being updated, but update yourself without annoying me all the time. I think I looked at my Google Chrome a couple of weeks ago, and it was at version 12. I look at it now, and I'm at version 14, 14.0.835.186.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that, and the average user shouldn't care and shouldn't have to know that. But when a bug fix comes out, when a security fix comes out, it should be installed. But we talked about this when they announced it like 6 months ago, from when version 3 to version 4, they said they were going to start running it very fast, that there's going to be a backlash of people who don't want to upgrade all the time. You know, it seems like every other day there's a new Firefox update coming out. I've almost stopped using Firefox completely because of it.
Yeah, I just sit there and say no to the updates.
Sure.
Don't bug me, and wait until...
And if you get used to the add-ons, then the new version comes out, your add-on
Chrome
doesn't work. Yeah. You switch to Chrome. The other option is don't get used to any add-ons.
The one thing I wish was easier in Chrome to do.
What's that?
Is when you want to quick bookmark something.
Quick bookmark.
You know how long?
Command
like
D.
You know.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thanks for calling.
There's a star icon at the right end of your menu bar that bookmarks it, or Command D, probably Control D on a PC.
I know going over there, but I'm so spoiled by Internet Explorer and the other, Foxfire, having it across the top, the bookmark thing there, and just quick hit it, and you can organize your bookmarks and
You got to go to the bookmark manager.
Yeah, across the top. You know, I like those, I shouldn't just say bookmarks, but other features, the print and all those across the
toolbar.
The top. Instead of having to constantly go over to the right hand side, click on
wrench.
The wrench and say print.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, granted, you can do the Control P and all that other stuff, but, I've just gotten so used to it. Now, the others, there's a little icon there to just click on the print.
Right.
Or if I want to file save as, or, that type of stuff.
There's a couple of really neat plugins I have been playing with recently, speaking of plugins.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Ghostery, which will put up a little semi-transparent window when you open a website and tell you what tracking cookies and tracking sites that website is using, and block them for you. I've already gone to a lot of sites that are already being blocked.
Oops!
So I have to go to a site that I haven't been to lately. So it's kind of neat to see. So here, I just went to a website and I see six different tracking sites have come up. You're going to see Facebook Connect a lot. You're going to see Google AdSense a lot because those are so common to connect you into Facebook and the Google ad networks. But it's interesting to see those ad tracking systems come up if you're concerned about privacy and concerned about what sites are tracking you. And so that's called Ghostery. And then there's another one called Certificate Patrol. Ghostery works on all browsers on all platforms, which is really, really, really cool. There's another one called Certificate Patrol that I've only found for Firefox. And it manages your certificate, your security certificates in your computer, and warns you when something changes. So it's a way of finding out if you go to your bank and there's a warning that the security certificate changed. You can look at that warning and see why it changed. You know, did it just expire and they had to renew it, or is there something nefarious going on? So that's a neat one too, called Certificate Patrol. And we'll have links for both of those up on our link list fairly shortly.
All right, let's do a news story. This one I was talking about earlier about Verizon. Verizon's suing again to block the net neutrality rules. Verizon Communications is taking another stab at overturning the FCC, that's the Federal Communication Commission's net neutrality rules. On Friday, the company filed an appeal in the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. After years of debate on the topic, the FCC adopted, in late December, rules codifying specific net neutrality principles. The new rules were published in the Federal Register last week, which opened the door to lawsuits. The rules are expected to take effect November 20th. Verizon had filed a complaint in January to stop the net neutrality rules from being implemented, but in April, a federal appellate court ruled that Verizon's suit was premature, since the rules had not yet been published in the Federal Register. So now that the rules have been published, Verizon essentially refiled its complaint against the rules, which are meant to ensure that internet service providers can't discriminate against certain types of traffic to favor their own services. The new regulation basically creates two classes of service that are subject to different rules, one that applies to fixed broadband networks and one that applies to wireless networks. In its lawsuit, Verizon accuses the FCC of overstepping its authority, and the company has said that because the FCC is trying to impose regulations that it doesn't have the authority to impose, it's creating uncertainty in the market that will ultimately harm innovation. I need a voice. Can you help me with the voice? The Verizon.
Oh, the way Nick sits there.
Yeah, Nick.
Verizon is fully committed to an open internet, Michael E. Glover, Verizon's senior spokesperson for Deputy General Counsel, said, "We are deeply concerned by the FCC's assertion of broad authority to impose potentially sweeping and unneeded regulations on broadband networks and services on the internet itself."
You're very good.
Nailed it. The first rule requires both wireless and wireline providers to be transparent in how they manage and operate their networks. The second net neutrality rule prohibits the blocking of traffic on the internet. The rule applies to both fixed and wireline broadband network operators as well as to wireless providers. But the stipulations for each type of network are slightly different. And finally, the last rule applies only to fixed broadband providers, and it prohibits those providers from unreasonably discriminating against traffic on their network.
All the regulations are so vague about unreasonable discrimination or network.
You could drive a semi through. Right.
Yeah, it's all about interpretation from the courts. Yeah.
And what sort of prompted all of this was a couple of years ago now. It came to light that one of the big internet providers, Comcast, was it Comcast or Cox? Oh. One of the big ones out west. Was not just blocking BitTorrent traffic, but actually intercepting your BitTorrent requests and telling the other end that you canceled the request. And the Associated Press found this out and tested it by downloading a copy of the Bible on BitTorrent, which is perfectly legal. It's open source,
right.
or public domain.
I would think so. Yeah. But at this point, yeah, I think we're covered.
So... What they found is that the ISP was telling the BitTorrent server that you stopped the transfer, and so they got in trouble with the FCC, and the FCC fined them and said, "Don't do that again." And so the ISPs are saying, "No, we're just shaping our bandwidth. You know, if someone is using too much bandwidth, you know, we want to be able to shape them so that it doesn't affect our other customers."
And I got swampland for you too.
And there's that other, you know, we talk about the weasel words and the vagaries of how these laws are written, but when companies say something like using too much bandwidth, it's like, okay, so what number is too much?
Yeah, we want our share.
AT&T's data throttling begins today.
Hooray!
That if you are in the top 5% of data users,
look, they tried to put a number on it there, right? But it doesn't really tell you anything.
Yeah, you have no way of knowing how much the top 5% is.
Yeah,
they will throttle back your data. So those of you that have the unlimited data.
Not anymore,
it's still unlimited amount of data, but not unlimited speed of data anymore. And they've been terminating their unlimited data contract, or not contracts, but plans. So you can't sign up for a new unlimited data plan. But if you're grandfathered in to your existing plan with unlimited data, you're going to get throttled. And Verizon is also doing the same thing on their 3G customers. Again, if you're in the top 5% of data use, you are reduced when you're connected to a congested site, like Netflix or Hulu or the reason you bought your mobile device to watch movies with.
Right. And again, congested site, another thing that's not really well defined.
That's still one thing that ticked me off about Netflix.
Oh, yeah, we should get to that soon.
Yeah, changing their plan on that one.
Anything else on AT&T?
Although I like Redbox.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of the competition to Netflix.
Yeah.
So if you have an AT&T or Verizon unlimited data plan and you use too much data, and there's no definition of what too much is.
And it's the amount that they say is too much.
Right. They will...
And with no third party saying, yep, we agree that AT&T is right that you use this much. It's just if they say...
So they will drastically reduce your speed until the end of your billing cycle.
All right.
So you could use too much data on the first day of your cycle and for 29 days be throttled.
Pokey, yeah.
All right. And you know it took me a while to come out from the dark side and I went to an Android phone. But these folks that still wanted to sit there and convince me to, download a movie or something else and watch it on my little screen versus sitting home and putting it on a 42-inch screen where I can sit on my couch, kick back and relax and watch it there versus holding this little screen and watching this and trying to make sure the other...
That's when you're waiting in line for something or you're at a customer site and you're watching the progress bar go.
I can find other things to do. Than to sit there and watch a movie and, like you say, wind up paying so much more. And by throttling, folks, for you, the folks that don't know what that term means, it's just basically them a way to – an excuse to charge you more. Because they're saying you're using too much, and under their rules, too much is this amount.
But it's
a number that they're picking because you're blowing over it.
Yeah.
And versus other countries, other third world countries – get far more data and pay a heck of a lot less.
Yeah.
Although there are some places in Europe where the data plans are much more expensive than they are here. And you may see
not
that
many.
when you buy a mobile device, an iPad or Android tablet with 3G and cell phones now with 3G in them to get on the internet, you're typically asked if you want to buy a 2 gig package or a 5 gig package. And they used to have unlimited gigs of data, and now they're cutting that back. When you look at a movie, a single movie could be 5 gigs. So they're limiting you to one movie a month.
Okay, with that, we're going to take a short break here for a moment, folks. But we will be right back with more great sound bites here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And welcome back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we've been forgetting to do that.
Yeah. We started. You're doing very good. And I also have to compliment you again on doing that voice like Nick would get down into.
It was a little bit like Richard Nixon.
Well, that's what we always tell him.
Yeah.
It's sort of a cross between Richard Nixon trying to do Walter Cronkite.
And just so folks know, yes, Nick, he's fine, but he's got a function with his daughter.
Yep.
And doing some stuff with that. And, family always comes first here.
Absolutely.
I mean, the three of us, that's one thing we've always, worried about is taking care of the family stuff first. And, hey,
Just kidding.
So we started to talk about Netflix before the break.
Oh, yes, yes,
and,
yeah.
So Netflix is a service that...
pain in the butt.
Well, originally...
It's been around for a while.
It's been around for a very long time, mm-hmm. and it was originally DVDs by mail.
Yep.
And for $8 to $10 a month, you could have one, two, three, or more DVDs.
Well, that's why I got rid of Blockbusters, because
right.
Blockbusters wouldn't give me the option of streaming video and having a movie.
Initially, it was physical DVDs.
Oh, here comes short stuff, Linda.
Little red envelopes that would show up in your mailbox from a list that you made on their website.
You have your list, and you send one back, and the next one on your list automatically shows up in your mailbox. And it was a really neat service.
There she is. You can't see her. Movies. Just the head.
So it was basically unlimited movies every month, as many as you wanted to watch, for $8 to $10. The cost of one person to see one movie in the theater, just about.
Yeah.
And then,
a
year, 2 years ago maybe, they started streaming to your computer. And then they added streaming to game consoles like the PS3 and the Xbox. And a lot of televisions have Netflix streaming built in.
Sure.
And they threw that in for free, basically. Well, a couple of months ago, Netflix upset millions of people by splitting streaming and DVDs for $8 a month each.
Yes.
So if you were a person that got streaming and DVDs,
that's me.
Your price doubled.
Yeah, I went from $10. They wanted to go up to, with tax and all that, $19.
Yeah. So it's $7.99 a month for streaming and $7.99 a month to have one DVD at a time.
Yeah.
More if you want more DVDs. So the stories around the net are is that they lost about 1 million customers.
Yep.
Basically said, we knew we were going to lose some people, but just the market has changed, the business has changed.
And hello, what worse time to do it in these times when money is so darn tight and people are losing jobs and don't have the money to spend with anyways?
Well, some of the problems they were having at their end is the big ISPs, like Level 3 and Comcast, were suing them to get more money out of them. Some studies have shown that 20%, was it 20? No, it was higher
than
that.
No, it was more than that. I think it was closer to
50 or 60% of all internet traffic during
in the evenings
is Netflix. And so if your ISP is handling huge amounts of data from this one company, they want paid for it. So generally between ISPs, Time Warner will carry Frontier's traffic and Frontier will carry Time Warner's traffic. They peer together and say, we'll just do it all and won't
it'll
worry
all
about
come out in the wash.
Yeah.
But when so many people are going to one specific site and downloading so much video from one specific site, a lot of the companies were suing Netflix to get money out of them. Because there's so much traffic.
Right.
So it really upset a lot of customers when Netflix split this into two separate purchases. So then what Netflix did is they changed the entire company structure. So now Netflix is only streaming over the net, and they come up with a new company that is DVDs by mail. And I can never remember the name of the new company.
Oh, I got it. It's Quixtar.
Right.
Oh, Quixtar.
Boy. Which is difficult because there are so many other companies that are very close to Quixtar. So it's Quixtar, not to be confused with Quixtar, Quixtar. Quixtar. So there's so many companies that have such a similar name.
Not to mention the chocolate milk people from Nestle. Nestle Quick.
And there was a guy on Twitter that was using Quixtar, like Netflix is spelling it.
And it was just some guy.
Just some guy has been using this Twitter handle for years to post pretty rude and not safe for work comments.
Oh, boy.
So it's sort of the joke these days. When you come up with a new company name, you have to look at the domain name, you have to look at the Twitter handle, the Facebook handle, and you can't find names that aren't used somewhere anymore.
Yep, so Quixtar's handling the DVDs by mail now, and Netflix is only streaming.
Well, that's where, like I say, you can go into Wegmans or one of those stores.
So,
Redbox.
So your Redbox and other DVD rental services might be making a comeback. Redbox is nice because it's a buck a disc, but the video movie companies, studios, are suing Redbox because they're too cheap, basically. And they hold back movies. You see that a lot on TV commercials. You've got your cable television pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the streaming services. You've got the digital download services like iTunes and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the physical discs. And so the movie company that owns a movie will bid all of this out at separate times. So sometimes the DVD will come out, and then you've got to wait, you know, 6 weeks for the stream to come out. Or they'll release the pay-per-view, and you got to wait 6 weeks for the DVD to come out. And so it's frustrating. I just want to watch the movie, and you can't find it sometimes.
The newest Transformer one just came out yesterday.
On a Friday, which was weird, because Tuesday is usually the day. But what's annoying, well, I know it'll come later.
For the weekend.
There's nothing special about the movie yet. So typically what we're seeing is this stupid new trend is a movie will come out on DVD, and it's just the theatrical version. And then later on, they'll release a special edition that might have some commentary tracks or some extra features. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they'll release a deluxe version that might have the DVD, the digital download built in or a game built in.
Yep.
I remember one of the early Transformers movies, the packaging was a Transformer, and it transformed from a DVD box into Optimus Prime.
That's pretty cool.
My son loved that when he was 6 or 7 or however long ago it was.
Yeah, no, it's a big mess. The other thing about the Netflix streaming compared to getting DVDs by mail that a lot of people don't know about if they're not Netflix customers is that just because Netflix or Quixtar has a DVD in their library doesn't mean that same title is available on the streaming, and vice versa. Just because they have it in streaming doesn't mean that you can get it via DVD either.
And it's different licenses from the different movie companies.
And the other thing I notice about the Netflix is, you know, I go in there and look at even some real old movies, and I can't stream them.
Right.
I mean, I'm not talking current movies. Not even. I'm looking at, say, 1995, 96, 97, in that era, and it says, nope, you can only get it on DVD. And it's like, what?
And that's a license restriction from the owner of the DVD, whoever studio owns the DVD. Yeah. So all the studios have to realize that people want to be able to stream. They may not want a physical disc.
Yeah, not on all, you know, these older movies that they could still be making some royalties.
Think how much
on.
Less it would cost you to produce physical discs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and then it's sort of in the middle of all this mess, the Starz premium cable company decided not to renew their contract with Netflix. So all the Starz shows that used to be on Netflix now won't be next year. And that's annoying.
Now Blockbuster streams, but they charge a lot more per show, if I remember correctly.
And then Blockbuster had an interesting sort of...
I don't know if they have a flat rate.
...combination where you could rent a DVD and it would come in the mail, mm-hmm. and you could return it to a store and get another one,
mm-hmm.
or you return it in the mail and get another one in the mail.
Right.
So that was sort of their competition against Netflix, is you don't have to wait for another one to come in the mail. You can go to the store and get one. Unfortunately, a lot of Blockbuster stores have closed down.
Closed up, yeah.
Right.
Because of the internet. And that's what I'm saying. And again, I looked into Blockbusters. I did have that one. And trying to see if they offered the streaming. But, boy, they wanted like $4 per stream. And I'm thinking, no way.
Oh, well, they may
have a membership. Yeah. Look at Amazon like that. They will stream individual movies for almost the price of what the movie would cost. But if you join the Amazon Prime, then it's less expensive. And I think they have an unlimited streaming plan as well. Blockbuster may have an unlimited stream themselves, too.
Yeah, but what does it cost?
You can rent versus buy. So I'm looking at the Blockbuster website now. What's interesting about Netflix is when they started, they were DVDs by mail. And so it wasn't DVD flicks or mail flicks.
Right.
They thought, for some reason, they were thinking 10 years ahead when the internet would be the distribution method, and called themselves Netflix.
Well, you know, and especially now, and, you know, they've been announcing a lot more with the holidays coming up. I mean, this is October 1st, you know, and it's not going to be too far away that we're going to be talking about Black Friday.
Sure.
Because, I mean, Christmas stuff is already going up in the stores, you know, and they're trying to get rid of the rest of the Halloween stuff.
Stuff's on clearance already.
Yeah. So, you know, you got that phenomenon going on.
Yeah, skipped Halloween and Thanksgiving, and the Christmas stuff is out.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I mean, the new netbooks are out or coming out, you know, and everybody's going to want a tablet. Because everybody's asking me, well, what about the PCs and that? Right now, this coming Christmas, the tablets are going to be the hot item. Because everybody's going to want a tablet. Yes, to be able to sit there and walk around your house with something that you can hold in your hand. You know, and it's a nice size screen, just like Dennis has here with his iPad. And you know, be able to click on things and, like you say, watch movies.
Yeah, sure.
No matter where you are, you can give it to, like Steve was saying, you can give it, he's got one for his son, you can go in, watch a movie anywhere if you want. You're not like, oh, I want to change the channel because I don't want to watch this one. Well, you got that, and you can stream it wherever you are in the house.
Right.
They're going to become very popular, and they're really cheap. I mean,
getting cheaper.
What, they're saying between $300 and $400?
Well, that brings
$299 and $399.
Well, that brings up
another story. You like this segue?
Yeah. So
nice
job. We can tease.
Yeah, we got 4 minutes.
4 minutes, okay. Yeah. We can talk about the Amazon Kindle. Amazon had a big announcement this week. New Kindles.
Right.
What's nice is for the existing Kindle, they have made the screen a little bigger by removing the keyboard, and so now the Kindle Touch is $99.
Okay.
And if you want the Kindle with special offers, it's only $79. And that means you get ads.
Yeah. Yes.
There's an ad on your home screen, and then there's ads at the bottom of your browsing screen. They say there's no ads when you're reading a book, but there's ads in it. Right. So this is, the previous cheapest Kindle was $140 or something like that?
Something like that, and it had the physical keyboard, but now they've gone to a touchscreen.
They've gone to a touchscreen.
Which is good.
There was an interesting article I read that the original Kindle was patterned after a BlackBerry. Because that was the predominant mobile device at the time, mm-hmm. So it was a screen with a keyboard, and so now it's sort of patterned after the iPad. It's an all screen with a touch screen on it. What's interesting is it's an infrared touch sensor. It's not a full capacitance touch screen because those are expensive. So there's infrared sensors on the corners of the screen to sense when you're touching it.
Right.
So that's the Kindle Touch for $99. And the Kindle Fire is a 7-inch color Android tablet for $199. The rumors were that it was going to be a $250 price point, but it's come out for $199. Or if you want the ad-supported version, I think it's $179. You save about $20. So for $199, you get a 7-inch. A dual-core processor tablet, weighs 14.6 ounces. It's Wi-Fi only, whereas iPad comes in a 10-inch screen with cameras and a 3G option, but starts at $500. So the Amazon Kindle could be the first serious iPad competitor amidst all the other failed tablets, the Playbook, the RIM Playbook, the HP Touchpad, the Motorola Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
All the other tablets that have failed. So now Amazon coming out at $199 is a really decent price, and for what it gives you, and being able to have the Amazon store behind it for books, audio, you know, ebooks and audiobooks, and movie and music rental and streaming. So they're probably going to be the first real competition that the iPad may actually get. They're saying that the Kindle Fire battery will last between 7 and 8 hours compared to the iPad's 10 hours, but it's physically smaller, so you get less battery. There's a new technology called Amazon Silk, which is supposed to dramatically speed up your web browsing, and it does that by caching web content on Amazon's own servers. So they know a lot of people read the New York Times. So instead of needing to download the New York Times from the internet to your tablet every single time every single person looks at that website, they'll cache it on their own servers and then can pump it to you a lot faster. So the Kindle Fire will be available in on November 15th. Pre-orders are available now on the Amazon website. I think the Kindle Touch is available for pre-order now and will be available on November 21st. Kindle Touch with 3G is $189. So the Kindle Touch is $99. Adding 3G is $88 $90 more than that. So we're actually seeing a pretty decent Android tablet for under $200.
Right. And the thing about that is they don't ever say, I mean, they mention that it runs on Android, but they don't ever specifically show you the Android interface on the tablet itself.
Yeah, it's a nice, easy-to-use interface on front of it, which has been the iPad's big success, is the easy-to-use interface. And that music tells us that we're going to take a short break, listen to some fabulous underwriters here, and remind you all that you're listening to Soundbites on Jazz 90.1. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be right back after this.
And welcome back. You are listening to Soundbites. I'm Dave Enry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worster. So one thing about the that new Amazon tablet, I think about back to when I was a kid, and we would get the Sears catalog that would come around holiday time, and you'd look at all the Sears Wish Book when we were kids in the early 80s, at all the new toys.
Did they start calling it the Wish Book?
Yeah. and you'd look at that and pore over the pages and think about, oh, wow, look at all this neat stuff. And I think about kids today, and they're going to be looking at these color screens from Amazon, the Kindle, and looking at the same way, because you can essentially use your Kindle to buy anything that's on Amazon's website and have it shipped to your house, the same way that for decades people used to use the Sears Roebuck catalog. You know, even out in the Old West, you wouldn't have a department store. You'd have to order it from Chicago or wherever and have it shipped out to you. And it would
show up on the stagecoach to the General Mercantile.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd walk into town one day and go pick up your deliveries. And it just seems that this is kind of an interesting technical progression from where that all came from.
All right. We did have somebody in here send in a chat, and it says, you ready for this one, guys?
Go ahead.
Is there a way to upgrade the USB ports on a Compact from 1997, originally equipped with Windows 95, but upgraded to Windows 98, along with a newer second 28-gig hard drive to USB 2.0 so that I can get information out of it? The internet connection is no longer works, and it's no longer recognizing the HP CD burner that is in it. Thanks. And this is Tim Sutherland. Actually, the CD burner shows up in the tree, but when I try to use it, the software says it isn't ready. Well, yes, there is a way you can get a USB 2.0 card. But you know what you might almost want to do is
$300. You're throwing money to sinking ship.
What I would do,
you need a new USB card, you need a new Ethernet card, it sounds like, you need a new optical drive.
Go buy a blank enclosure, take that hard drive out of the machine, put it in the enclosure, hook it up to your new computer, and it's going to see it.
Right.
And you can get to that drive and then grab whatever files you want off of it, and once you've got it, go ahead, because it is, 27 gig. It's not very big, but still, no. It's better to poke the eye with a sharp stick. You can wipe it off.
That might be 27 megs.
Yeah, it might be.
Might be on a 20-year-old computer.
Unless you upgraded it at some point. But, but Windows 95 or 98 is only going to see so many gigs off of a drive anyway.
Depending on what he wants off of it, you know, there's a lot of shops that he can just take it to and for a flat rate, you know, pull off what data he wants and burn it to a DVD.
Yeah, with a 1998 laptop, I'm assuming that you want to replace that.
Compact Presario.
Okay.
1997.
Okay. Yeah. I'd say extract that drive, put it into an enclosure,
if you don't want to even do that, just bring it to somebody, and they'll, you know, especially if it, like you say, it's probably 27 meg, and you know, if you want to just pull off, it's probably 27 gig.
PC laptops are a lot easier to get to in general. It's usually a couple of screws in the bottom of the case. And I don't know if a machine that vintage would be just as easy. But
just pull it out. You know, and a lot of shops can just burn it to a DVD. Because you don't want the program to not. You're basically looking for either photos, songs, or pictures or documents.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's hard to part with the old computers. Yes, you can.
He says it is 27 gig.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can put money into it and replace the components that aren't working. You may have trouble finding components that work in that old a computer. So it may be time to bite the bullet and look at a new machine.
Oh, yeah. Clients ask me this all the time. They say, how old should I let my computer get before I start thinking about that? And I've got an answer I've developed.
Maybe 4 years.
That seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's right. He wants just the photos. I don't use it. Just want the data off of it. Yeah, well, you can bring it to, like I say, a number of local shops and They can just pull the hard drive out.
I'd say burn it to CD, but your CD drive isn't working.
No. Well, that's what I say.
That's what he was saying.
He can burn it. You know,
flash drive, although USB 1 would be slow.
Burn it to a DVD, and there's 4.7 gigabytes.
So what do you tell your customers who ask how long to keep?
They say, how long should I keep this? How long should are computers really good for? When should I think about selling it? And I tell people, don't use any computer that's older than your car. I said, if you're the kind of person who keeps a car for a decade and nurses it along and babies it and keeps it up just to keep driving, one more month or one more week or one more year, then you're comfortable with things that are older and willing to take care of things. But, if you're the kind of guy that you're leasing a new car every other year because you don't want to have to deal with these kind of hassles.
His car is 16 years old.
Yeah, it's just about right then.
Yeah. Time for a new computer, and right now is the time to do it. Because
go buy a new car to go get the new computer.
When I was a kid, we had this old car that I used to drive around in. And every time something went wrong with it, my dad said, we should sell it. But we can't sell it now because it's broken.
Right.
So we put a few $100 in it to fix it up to sell. And it's working now. We might as well not sell it.
Vicious.
I ended up taking that car to college with me.
If it weren't for that horse.
Yeah.
All right. Do we still have a caller on the line?
Yeah. We've got Julie from Rochester on the line.
Yep. Thank you for being so patient, Julie.
No problem. I just wanted to, a couple years ago I had a certificate error problem. And I went to a help forum online and all that. And I finally found out my problem was that the clock on my computer was set for 2004, January 1st.
Yep, that would do it.
But it took me months to figure that out.
Yep.
And I just thought I'd share that little bit of information with anybody. Whoever gets the certificate error, check the clock on your computer.
Certificates are in your web browser, and they're a security certificate to prove that when you're going to your bank, it's really your bank. And those certificates expire after a certain number of time, usually a year or two, so that companies have to keep renewing the certificates to keep proving they are who they say they are.
Right. I could not imagine my bank not having a certificate. Yeah.
If the clock in your computer is wrong, when your computer looks at the certificate and sees that, it's 10 years wrong, you get an error saying, there's something wrong with the certificate because the date is too different than today's date.
Right. And I'm the type of person, I always blame everybody else first.
Yep. What we've seen over the years is that most computers and all the operating systems will set the clock over the internet. And it used to be that the battery in your computer, even desktops have a little tiny battery in it, a little watch battery type, that battery would keep your clock accurate. And one of the symptoms of your clock, your battery weakening, would be the clock would start being wrong. But no one ever notices that these days because the computer synchronizes to the internet as soon as you turn it on.
Yeah, so I have an older computer, just like the gentleman before me.
Yeah.
I just bought a new car, so I guess it's time for a new computer.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. I leave Tuesday for Florida for good, but I do have 90.1 programmed into my computer.
There you go. We're never that far away from you, and you can still listen to great jazz during the week and us on the weekends.
And I will be at my pool doing so.
That sounds great.
Well,
we'll be down shortly.
Well, tell you what, if you're willing, you can always call Rob and maybe sanction something. Once you get down there, we could do a live show poolside.
Yeah. Perfect.
There you go. I have a third bedroom.
Maybe during January and February.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, talk to Rob.
All right. Take care, guys.
You too, and have a good one.
Bye,
you
Julie.
Too. Bye.
That was great.
That'd be a cool remote down in Florida during January or February.
Yep.
Yeah, we could all be there wearing headsets and swimming trunks and sipping drinks with umbrellas in them.
When's NAB this year? April 14th, National Association of Broadcasters.
Is that in Florida?
Las Vegas.
Oh. Well, that's good, too.
Almost as good.
It's not too shabby.
Yep.
It could be arranged.
That's the big show where all the TV show creators go and the TV show producers and the TV stations go to buy shows that they want to air, TV and radio shows. So if when you have a show, you want to go there to show it off and hopefully get bought by some network.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. So I've got this iPod Nano here that I've had for a little while, and I was showing I was showing Dave how you
and can, I was going cross-eyed.
You could turn it into a wristwatch. They've got this strap that you can put on it, and you get there's this app on it that shows a little clock. So you essentially take an iPod that has a little touchscreen and turn it into a clock. So I'll hold it up so the people on the webcam can see it. It looks really cool. It's
you can turn into cameras. That easily. All right, let me see if I can switch,
you work on
switch to the local
so
camera.
So you can switch it to show the date and time. Naturally, it's an iPod, so it'll play the music. Go. Ah, okay. So it looks like this. It comes with a really nice black strap. And it'll tell you what time it is, among other things. Which
you
is
if you have to touch it to wake it up to show the time.
Well, yeah, you tap it on the little thing on the side, and it wakes up really fast, and you can look at the time. It's very cool. You can also put your pictures and music and videos on it. It's really cool. So I'm looking to sell it, guys. Either one of you interested in this? Maybe not? All right.
No.
Okay. Well, you know, it's worth a shot.
Well, that sort of brings up the story on...
I'll have to put it on eBay, I guess.
Also possibly coming Tuesday at the Apple announcement, there are signs and portents, that the iPod Classic and the iPod Shuffle may get discontinued. The Classic is the one that has the big hard drive in it, 160 gig hard drive. So if you have a huge music library, that's the one most people get. And then the Shuffle is the tiniest one and the least expensive one. It's usually good for runners and joggers, outdoor people who just want something tiny to keep with. There's rumors that they're going to discontinue those models. The iTunes Store removed the section for classic click wheel based games.
Right.
There were apps for the classic iPod that came out in 2001, the original model,
right,
that no one ever realized. So we'll have to see what happens next week, and next Sunday's show or Saturday's show, we'll probably have more ideas and more information on what's actually going to show up and see what's going to happen. So it's be interesting to see how that works.
I got a couple of those games and downloaded them. There was a neat one called Zuma that was made by PopCap that you could get. There was another one that was based on the original the ABC show Lost.
Yep.
That was kind of
I had a Tempest one. I think I had a Pac-Man one.
Yeah, Pac-Man Pole Position came out for a while. And it was neat to see that was kind of the seed of the idea of having portable gaming from Apple. And with the advent of the iPod Touch, iPhone, we may
see now a 128 gig iPod Touch for that capacity and now the bigger screen and mobile gaming platform.
Cool.
Rumors upon rumors.
Okay, tell you what, you folks obviously didn't have anything better to do because you've spent the past 2 hours listening to here at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And you know what? We love doing this so much, we're going to do it again next week. But also as a reminder, starting next week, we're starting our fun drive. So, folks, please, you know, if you find it in your hearts, if you can, you know, make a donation, become a member, and support this great program that, you know, you're getting a lot of information that you would have to pay otherwise quite a bit of money here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week.
Here are the club calendar highlights for Saturday, October.